Great to be joined by Wayne Wallingford on this legislative interview now, 27th District Senator from Cape Girardeau. And Wayne, I know you wanted to focus on the right to work issue during this interview. It's a bill that was passed last week by the Senate. It's headed toward the House. This is something that comes up, it's every year. What makes it different this year, do you think?
Well, what makes it different this year is that we have a new governor. You know, our previous governor said he didn't ever see a right-to-work measure he would sign, and that's why Missouri's been at the low end of the economic development arena for the last 8 years against our right-to-work states that surround us. Total, when the governor signs this, and he said he would when it reaches his desk, in fact, he was elected on by an overwhelming majority campaigning on labor and legal reform, and versus a candidate that wanted to keep the status quo. So when he signs that, Missouri will be the 28th state to sign right to work. And every state, we have eight states that surround Missouri, and every one of those, with the exception of Illinois, has right-to-work laws. So, and if you look at the condition of Illinois, you'd say maybe they need it more than anyone else. So we will join seven of our surrounding states that will have right-to-work laws and then hopefully start, you know, benefiting from that and making, you know, economic development a priority here in Missouri, because we're losing too many jobs, we're not having the growth, we're losing population. So it's I've done a lot of studies on this because I've been studying this for 4 years to make sure I make the right decision when it comes up. And you hear a lot of rhetoric on both sides, and I always say I will never substitute, you know, rhetoric for scholarship. I always look at scholarship. Like I read every letter, every email that comes to me on a particular issue, whether I agree with it or not, I'll read every one. And like I received a letter from a constituent and they said, you know, right to work laws drive down wages. Well, that's not true. It doesn't drive down wages. Actually, wages are higher. The letter said it's harder for working families to find jobs. That's not true, because unemployment is actually less in right-to-work states than it is in non-right-to-work states. And then they say they have, you know, lower wages, and it's showing that they don't. Now, one thing you want to do, I've lived in the higher cost area states. I've lived in California. I've lived in Pennsylvania. I've lived in Illinois. When I worked for Taco Bell Corporation, I had the high cost states that I was responsible for: New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts. I can tell you the cost of living there is atrocious. When I moved to Missouri, I was like getting a huge pay raise. Well, they're comparing those states when they say, well, it's, wages are higher in non-right-to-work states. Well, if you pull out those high-cost states and look at the states surrounding Missouri, the Midwestern states, you'll find out that actually the cost of living in right-to-work states is lower than the non-right-to-work states. So you have to dig deeper. I think I'm a forensic scientist when it comes to data and knowledge, because I want to get down to the meat of the things. And it's, I think if people knew the facts and the data, you know, they might not be saying, because I truly believe they believe that when they say, you know, it's bad for the workers, it's going to, we don't get as much money, it's going to be harder to find jobs. Well, on the surface, if that were true, I'd say, well, I'm not going to be voting for this. That's the last thing I want to do. But when you study the facts and the information, you find out that, no, that's not true at all. You know, and ironically, right to work started with Arkansas, our neighbor to the south, back in 1944. And then Nebraska and Tennessee joined bit after that, 46 and 47, and Iowa and 47, Kansas and 58. And then we had a long spell there, and then Oklahoma finally in 2001. And then just this January, Kentucky became the 27th state, and now also in January, Missouri will be the 28th state when it gets sent to the governor. So another thing that I've researched and noticed, you know, when Indiana had right to work, and they signed that in 2012, so they've had it for 5 years, the United Steelworkers president said they were expecting a 40% drop in membership. So they were bracing for the worst. But he said 5 years later, we only lost about 70 people from our roughly 3,000 membership. So it hardly was a catastrophic blow to them. And the Michigan union membership, and Michigan joined in 2013, their union membership remained basically the same. And in other right-to-work states, union membership has actually increased.
Well, as you often do, you answered many of the questions that I was going to ask you, because you always cover all sides of the issue and do your research and introduce us to that information. I guess as a follow-up, I would ask that a lot of people have said that they think that it ought to go to the vote of the people rather than being dealt with by the legislature. What do you think about that idea?
Well, I know there was a questionnaire put out by the Kansas City newspaper, and if you believe that poll, and I believe their poll is accurate for what they did, but then you have to say, well, what did it actually do? They said 70% of Missouri citizens say they're against right to work. You say, well, that's really overwhelming. That's something. We don't want to go against 70% of our citizens. But you have to remember, this was Kansas City. They have Jackson County there. They have the United Auto Workers. So that poll was strictly people who would be, you know, putting out words that we find out really aren't true, you know, that drives down wages and harder to find jobs and things. Actually, if you go to the rest of the state, the other 114 counties, you'll find out it's probably closer to 80% of the people want Missouri to be a right to work state, because as people become more educated, they see that we have stronger economic growth, and studies show that not only do we have higher levels of economic growth, but we attract more new businesses and create job and wage growth. And right now, Missouri's losing jobs and population to our right to work neighboring states. Right to work states create 2.5 times jobs faster than the ones that don't have right to work, and Missouri's lost 23,964 jobs to our neighbors. Nebraska gained over 40,000 jobs. Oklahoma gained over 62,000 jobs. Tennessee's gained over 11,000 jobs. And that's why during the last census, Missouri lost one of our congressional districts. And, you know, now we're down to 8 from 9 because Missouri's losing population. People are migrating to the states where they can find jobs, and those states are the right-to-work states.
So do you think that is an issue that should be dealt with by the legislature, or do you think that it should go to a vote of the people?
Well, I think this should be done by the legislature, because the legislature is in a better position to examine the facts and data. As I mentioned, the letter I got from my constituent, you know, saying some things in there that when you do your research, you find out it's not true. And, you know, if you could educate everyone on the facts, it probably would be fine. But as long as people believe more in rhetoric than they do scholarship, they might find out they're voting something down for Missouri, which would actually be better for Missouri, you know. The top states for new manufacturing jobs are right-to-work states, and the states without right-to-work over the same period had only 11% 11.5% growth rate, but the right-to-work states had 17% growth rate. So as people learn the facts, and these are facts that aren't being made up, these are supported by the Department of Labor Statistics, you know, a nonpartisan government, department. So these are things that our own United States government has researched and studied and said, here's what the facts are. So the legislature is in a position to, base their decisions on those facts and not so much on rhetoric or emotion.
So what will be your focus in the coming week, Mr. Wallingford?
Well, in the coming week, we have some real ID bills that will be coming up. It was just voted out of my committee, Veterans and Military Affairs, and that's going to require a lot of discussion because there's people on both sides of the aisle. If you remember the Real ID Act of 2005 said, if you don't meet these requirements, you won't be able to fly on a civilian airplane. Even if you're going from Kansas City to Missouri and never left the Missouri border, you have to have an ID card that has all this biometric data on it. And, of course, people don't want biometric data to be collected. And others say, but, what do? We have to fly. I think the real solution lies in the federal government. But until that happens, we can't restrict. We don't want to restrict Missourians from, being able to fly freely from place to place. Now, they could go out and get a passport, and then that would solve that problem. But, a lot of people don't have passports or don't want to get one. And so right now the government's interfering with their right to commercial air travel just within the United States, let alone the state of Missouri. So there'll probably be a lot of discussion on that one as well.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much for your time once again. We always appreciate it.
You're welcome, Chad. Good to talk to you.
And you as well. Wayne Wallingford for joining us on this legislative interview, 27th District Senator from Cape Girardeau.